I don't want to speak for all of you, but my first reaction to that gospel passage is always to say, but that's not fair. It just doesn't seem fair to us what happens in this gospel passage. That's a phrase that we use a lot, I think. It's not fair. Think back to when I was a kid. Whenever my brother received some benefit or some good thing that I didn't receive, what was the first words out of my mouth? It's not fair. It happens at work. If someone receives a promotion that we don't think they deserve, we say it's not fair. It happens at school. If somebody does better on a test that we studied really hard for, we say, well, it's not fair. Fairness seems to be something that's baked into our DNA as human beings. It rubs us the wrong way when someone receives some special favor or gets some break. But that sense of fairness that we all have can so easily slip into the sin of envy. Notice the laborers in the story become envious of the others. There's jealousy because of some other's good fortune. So I think we have to examine that initial reaction that we have to say to this parable, it's not fair. Is the landowner really being unfair? Well, the answer to that is actually no. He agreed to give the usual daily wage to those who started at the beginning of the day, and that's what he gives them. The usual daily wage in the ancient world was a small silver coin that in our money would be worth about $3. And it was so vital to receive this small coin at the end of the day, because if you didn't have it, you didn't eat that night. Your family went hungry. Those workers are what we would refer to as day laborers. No work, no food. So not only is the landowner being fair in that he goes out and extends this great gift to these laborers to give them a job, he's being generous to go back out and even hire those people who were still in the marketplace. Maybe they weren't great laborers. Maybe they were handicapped in some way, or maybe they were prevented from getting there earlier. Whatever the case might be, they were still there waiting. And if they didn't get any work, they weren't going to eat. Even if he had given them a quarter of a day's pay, it would have saved those men and their families from going hungry that night. So what the landowner doesn't do, he's not unfair. What he is he is generous. He's generous to go out and give them jobs, and he's generous to pay those who start later in the day the full day's wage. What if I want to give this last one the same as you? Am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? The workers obviously didn't deserve the full wage. They hadn't worked the whole day. But the landowner is free to do with his money as he seems fit. And he is generous. He's generous to those who start at the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, and at the end. He's generous to them all. So what is it that we are meant to take from this story? Obviously, all of the gospel parables are meant to be applied to our lives and our lives of faith. So what can we take from this story? I'd like to suggest three takeaways from this gospel passage. The first is that God's grace is active in all seasons of our lives. Notice the landowner goes out. He goes out at dawn, 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m., and we could say that those time periods roughly correspond to the time periods of our lives. Infancy, childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and old age. Some of us have been given the gift of the Catholic faith from our baptism for our entire lives. We're the ones who start off at dawn. Others have had to discover the treasure of the Catholic faith at some point in their lives, or maybe had a reversion back to the faith as an adult. Those are the noon or the 3 p.m. folks. And some come to faith late in their lives, the 5 p.m. crowd. Think about the repentant thief on the cross in St. Luke's Gospel, hanging next to Jesus. He was clearly a criminal, a sinner, but yet he professes his faith in Jesus, and he's told that at that moment he will be with Jesus in paradise. So should we be envious of him because he comes to faith at the end of his life? We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be envious, because God's grace is active in every season of your life. And we can't be envious of the moment that God's grace is active, whether we're 10 years old or 30 or 50 or 90. Rather, we should rejoice that his grace is at work in us. The prophet Isaiah in the first reading today recounts God's words, "My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are above your ways." God is active at every season in each and every one of our lives. The second thought is that God is generous beyond our wildest imagination. He's clearly the landowner in the parable. Not only is he infinitely fair, God is infinitely fair, he's also infinitely generous. We as human beings, we tend to focus on our perceived slights. We tend to become envious. What did the laborers who started at the end of the day, what do they start doing? They start building a case about why the landowner isn't being fair. They want to argue the point. They forget the fact that they have just been paid and that they can go home and feed their families. Rather than being grateful for that, they become envious. In our own lives, can we become jealous or envious of God's work in someone else's life? Some blessing that they've received. Perhaps some grace that their family has been given. Does it cause us to become envious or jealous? Or does it cause us to be thankful and to see the ways that God is active in my own life and the generosity that he's bestowed upon me beyond my wildest imagining? We tend to let our problems and our struggles play on an endless loop in our heads instead of paying attention to how God has been generous to us in abundance. And the last thought to take away from this story, I think, is to remember that nothing that we do merits God's grace. How often do we think that if we only do more or do it better, or say some more prayers, God will somehow owe us something? That if I say the rosary every night for a week, then God owes me fill in the blank. If I come here and occupy this seat in church every week, then God owes me blank, fill in the blank. We think about our relationship with God like that, as if we merit God's goodness. But God's grace is a free gift. The word grace itself means free gift. It is gratuitous. Nothing that we do can earn it. Rather, we cooperate with it. We ask for the gift, and God bestows it in generosity. Thank God, I think, that my merits, God doesn't judge me according to my merits. Because what I deserve, he treats me much better than that. And I think if we think about our lives of faith, we can see that God treats us much better than we ever deserved. God calls us at every season, my friends. He's generous to us beyond measure. And his grace is a sheer free gift. And I think all of this, this whole story and these 3 points, it can all be summed up in the Eucharistic mystery. What we celebrate when we come to this church every single week. The fact that Jesus calls us to kneel at the foot of this altar. Some since childhood, some as adults, some after very long absences away from the faith. Whenever he calls, he's called us to be here, to be at the foot of his altar, to feed on the Eucharistic food, the food that is a gift beyond any measure, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus, once offered on the cross for us and made present here on this altar. There is no greater gift, and God gives it freely. Nothing that we do makes us worthy to receive this gift. We don't deserve the gift, but yet God gives it. We seek to cooperate with it by being properly prepared to receive Holy Communion, by fasting an hour before we come to Mass, by going to confession. We want to receive it the best way we can, but yet God gives it freely. Notice that when we come up to receive communion, we don't take communion. It's given to us. We receive it. We say, Amen, I believe. And we receive that free gift. I think this whole story and what Jesus is trying to teach us can be summed up in this great mystery of the Eucharist, what we celebrate here week after week. So as we participate in the Eucharistic mystery today, as we come forward to receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, let us have grateful hearts that God calls at all seasons and is calling us right now, that he gives us innumerable graces beyond greatest imagining, and that God is generous to us beyond what we could ever possibly deserve.